Perez. Wilto makes a run ahead of it. Bergkamp suddenly changed pace through the centre. It's Bergkamp! That's magnificent! The move, and then this, which left Dabby's ass totally stranded.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to a Bergkamp Wonderland, an Arsenal podcast. If you don't know who I am, my name is Craig, and I will be your host this evening. What a week it has been. I have been walking around each day. I have been selecting a different Arsenal shirt to walk around the town in with that nice We Beat Spurs walk. I'm all sure you know the walk. I'm sure you've all been doing it. What a superb week after beating those Kreshnas horrible bastards up the road. Tonight, joining me, I have Josh. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. Just like you. I've been annoyed by the sunny weather and having a lot of Spurs fans in my shadow. But otherwise, it's been a great week.
Love it. Love it. I love it. Danny, how are you?
It's all bungholio, isn't it? And I look homeless. I'm due for my monthly bath tomorrow, and I will get the council around to give me a trim with a strimmer. But yeah, look how hairy I am. But I'm deflating at an amazing rate. I've got flabby skin everywhere now. I prefer being fat. When this comes off, chiseled. That's what I've got, mate. My fingers crossed for. That's not. I can't cross my fingers. I'm too fat. There you go. I've got two fingers. Oh, I can't even cross them. Now I'm all right, you?
Yeah, good. I'm good.
Paddy Power offering a over under number of chins for you, Danny, when it comes off.
What will I get on three?
Don't know yet. I think the odds are under four is what they're
doing. Oh, I'd go two.
Ooh, classic two. Oof.
Wow. Nick,
look forward to it.
How are you, sir? Give us a smile.
Don't smile. Don't ever smile again. No, I'm happy. I've just been ignored at work by all the Tottenham, Liverpool and Manchester United fans. So it's been a boring, quiet week, which I like.
Isn't it great, though, after... There's no way, like I said it on Twitter there the other day, from where we were 10 years ago to where we are now, we were on the floor 10 years ago. Josh, I'll come to you first. We were on the floor 10 years ago. Fast forward 10 years later, we're second in the league. And we have... challenged the title this year and still are challenging the title this year. I'm sure you're like me. You've been watching football a very long time, like we all have, and we all know that football isn't as simple as the fixtures might make out. Now, I mean that for Manchester City, and I mean that for Arsenal too. Bournemouth at home next for us. You know, everyone's expecting us to go there and go gung-ho and beat them. Manchester City, their fixtures look for fairly simple. But as the great Jimmy Greaves once said, and I'll say the great Jimmy Greaves, even though he played for Spurs, it's a funny old game, Josh, and we can still win it, mate. We can still win it.
Definitely. I feel like this weekend is our banana skin, and there's certainly City have got a couple in there. And I think, as you say, it's been a while since we've been in this position before. And the way I'm seeing it at the moment is, you know what? I much prefer having points on the board. We've said it sometimes, you always flip the way that you'd say it and you go, you know what, I'd rather be in City's position. Well, I've got the games in hand, mathematically I could do it, but yeah, it feels nice to have those points on the board, show that we are playing the best football in the league, really. Mm. If you look at how City have performed versus some of our lowest performances, maybe part of it is expectation versus what you expect City to be doing versus what you'd expect from our team. Bearing in mind, as you say, go back that 10 years, only 2 years ago, we were struggling to challenge for top 10 almost. Mm. It's just that huge leap that we've seen in this quality and what's going on. And I feel like it's one that you just have to sit back and enjoy it. Obviously, if we win the league, it is the icing and cherry on top of this cake. But right now, I'm just happy we've got the cake.
Absolutely. Nick, I'll come to you. What, Mikel Arteta, a manager that some people wanted out only a couple of years ago, We won't go too much into that because of what a load of old pony to want a manager out that has you challenging for the top of the league. He must take the most credit for the transformation. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us saw what needed to be done at Arsenal for years. A lot of players needed to go. And just basically the mentality of the club needed to change. We were there that, oh, top four's a trophy. That'll do. And it just went down, you know, what, you know, I think Wenger said that and a few others, and that went into our players. So they, I just think they didn't have the right mentality to actually improve, which not all their fault. Plus, obviously, they weren't as talented as the players we got now. But yeah, Arteta seen what happened. And apparently he was very close to getting the job the first time around. I think it was between him and Unai. So, I mean, we don't really know if he'd have got the job the first time. If the same thing would have happened, we'll never know that. But I think it's done well. He's done what needed to be done, and you've got to give him credit for it. And obviously, that's his you know, it's his first job in management as well, and he's pushing for the title. And I've been, like, the last week or so, I've been watching a lot of podcasts with Simon Jordan. I know he's a twat, but you know, like a lot of the ex-footballers and that who want to be managers and stuff like that and refuse jobs and stuff, and they're saying, oh, you need to go down and go through the lower leagues and manage all the crap sides to get the experience. Well, Arteta's proven them wrong, isn't he? Mm. I mean, what experience has Arteta got? Because he's a top Premiership player who's, you know, he's played under really good managers over the years. So what's he going to do in League One and League Two? What does he know about that? So probably not. So, you know, Arsenal took a punt on him. That could have spectacularly backfired, and it didn't. So you've got to give the Kroenkes a lot of plaudits as well, because we gave him a lot of grief when they weren't doing what we want. Mm. And it seems like when they took over complete 100 control, they've backed the manager, you know, with time and the finances. So, you know, yeah, give Arteta loads of plaudits, but, you know, not many people, you know, say well done to the Kroenkes either.
We also had a lot of proper Arsenal people got moved into proper positions.
Yeah.
So not just Edu. You know, we were always talking about wanting more ex-players. And I think
back in the ABW days, that's all Steve would go on about.
Absolutely. And I think the main gripes that we've had during that process is maybe it's not been the Arsenal players we've wanted. That's really been the issue. That, you know, if you wanted any Invincible to be in our director of football before we knew about Edu, you would have said Henri, maybe Vieira. Edu would have been probably, you would have forgotten him. He wouldn't have been on the list. Probably just above Jens Lehmann, because that would just have been an absolute car crash having Jens in charge of us.
It would have been fun.
But you look at Mertesacker coming into the academy. You've got Jack Wilshere doing things. And I was also mentioned Vinay as well. With the club for 15 years, if you're at any job for 15 years, you love the place you work.
Hmm.
So that makes me say he's an Arsenal man as well. And you know, he's moving on at the end of the season. And then we've added proper experience with it as well. We've built a proper solid structure. Look at what's going on with Man United. If Arteta was manager of Man United, I don't think you'd see the success we're seeing right now, because there's that cohesion, that foundation that's in place. Everybody knows what the goal is there. And I feel like it's what's led us to this point right now.
Absolutely. And I do agree with you on that. People have said to me about Arteta managing Man United or Liverpool or this, that, and the other. I don't think, like you just said there, the cohesion he's got with the players. It's like when Alex Ferguson left Manchester United and David Moyes went in. It was a poison chalice job straight away. How can you have Alex Ferguson commanding all that respect from the players and replace him with David Moyes? It was destined to failure straight away. And they still, in my opinion, have not replaced Alex Ferguson. There has not been one manager there that's commanded the respect. There's not been a manager there that's commanded the respect for, or given the players given respect to the manager. And I believe that Mikel Arteta has these players, you know, they're so sewn tightly. You can see it every interview they do, every time they talk about the manager. Dan, I mean, I truly believe something. For all the stuff we put up with over the last 10, 5 years, I truly believe that the footballing gods are going to give us something special. And I truly believe it's Arteta. I truly believe that Mikel Arteta is going to be one of the best Premier League managers of the generation. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, you and me on Twitter have been fighting the good fight for quite some time. I didn't want Arteta as a manager when he first announced, because you don't really want a bus driver who's only just got his license, do you? Driving you around on his bus. But it's turned out that I was wrong. I wasn't going, that's it, I want him gone. At no point have I said I want him gone. Partly because I didn't want to go through all that. Get all these lot out, get the new lot of players in. I couldn't be bothered to go through that yet again. That was 50% of the reason. And 50% because I thought, well, yeah, he won the FA Cup in his first season. I mean, how many managers, every Spurs manager, how many managers have gone their entire career and not won the FA Cup? Could play 1,000 games, never won the FA Cup. And he's done that in his first season, followed that up with the Charity Shield. And then you think, well, hold on, he's got something here. And he seems so committed that he believes himself, and that's the most important thing. And he has convinced everyone else to believe in him. And every time, the next stage of trust the process, he's right. I didn't trust the process from last season playing 10 out of 10 beautiful football to the dog shit we were playing at the beginning of this season. I'm like, why have you changed it? What have you done? What the fuck are you doing? You don't know what you're doing. Turns out he did know what he's doing, Craig. And now we're playing better football, conceding less goals. But remember, George Graham used to say, I bring this up all the time, when you come to a club and you want to sort things out, you start from the back. Last season, all these previous seasons, he couldn't start from the back because he didn't have players that were that. Maybe this one, he wanted Raya. He saw as the final key part to having the back five that aren't going to concede goals. Because last season, we were beautiful to watch, but we conceded goals. And things kept going wrong like that. Don't concede goals, everything else falls into place. And then the whole Havertz thing. I said, why waste the money on Havertz? Yet again, Craig, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah. I was going to come to Havertz later, so I'll swiftly push that Havertz conversation to the side. Josh, Nick, sorry, I'll come back to you, Nick. I've had a lot of people say to me on Twitter, you know, people who know me would know that I've been a staunch, you know, sticking up for Arteta. Sometimes I've lost the plot for emotions and stuff like that, but as you do when you're watching football. Some people are saying to me, but he spent this much money. Would you agree with me in saying that, or people in the chat, would you agree with me to say that he's actually needed to spend that money to get us to where we are now? You know, with the outs that we wanted Ozil to go, we wanted Aubameyang out, they were bad eggs, we all know that. There was a lot of hangers-ons, he got rid of them. Then he brought in his own players. But I sit back and say, well, if he didn't spend that money and he didn't, you know, rejig the squad and bring in his own players, I don't think we would be where we are. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, because I don't think any of the players that were there before he got there were going to get any better. And plus, a few of them he had to move on. You know, they were the wrong side of 30 anyway, so they needed to be moved on anyway. But how many years did we go without pretty much spending anything after the Emirates? What, over a decade?
Yeah.
Where we were all told we were moving to the Emirates to compete financially with the big boys. And we know now, obviously, you know, with the credit crunch and recession and all stuff like that, the money didn't happen as much as we thought that would. But also, you know, when we said we were going to do that, that was before Chelsea, let alone Man City, come along with all their money. So they just completely moved the goalpost over. I mean, I remember when the last few years of the of Highbury, we were spending £30 million on like four players. I think it was the year we won the double. I think it was four players for £30 million and Sol Campbell on a free. So I had to get Sol Campbell in there this week. And Man United went and spent £30 million on Veron, one player. So that's where we were before the Emirates. We were buying four players for what Man United were paying for one. I know that one didn't work out, but eventually that catch up with you. But like I said earlier, the Cronkies have backed him with the money and he spent it mostly well. I mean, I wouldn't blame everything on Arteta because I think the rest of them are like Edu's got to take a little bit of the plaudits and grief as well for some of them that's been done.
I'd say also, how many get 100% hit rate? Mm. Even if you talk about a club with great recruitment, it's never 100%.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. We're signed players over the years who think, oh, this is going to be perfect. This is going to work 100%. This is the best signing ever. And it's been a complete flop. And then the other way, you sign someone who you think is going to be a flop and does really well. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, Arteta obviously sees something in players, and he's getting stuff out of players that other managers can't. I mean, look, not to get too far with Havertz, but how many managers did he have? Was it three or four under Chelsea? And all of them said he wasn't any good, surplus to requirements. But Arteta saw something in him and brought him in. You know, like you said, the arm over round the shoulder, they were talking to, and he looks a different player than when he was at Chelsea. Completely different player.
He certainly does. I just want to go back to this comment here from Boy 10. D-I, I think, D-O. Nick, Josh, I'll come to you on this one. Yeah, here it is. Here it is there. I don't know why people care so much about how much Arsenal have spent. We are going up against actual cheats in Manchester City. What's the issue? I get that. I don't see why everyone's given off about how much Arsenal have spent when you've got Manchester City spending, you know, I mean, Chelsea have spent £1 billion. And if you saw their bench tonight, or even if you see their starting 11 after spending £1 billion, and people are having a go at Arteta for spending, oh, I don't know what it is, off the top of my head, 600, is it? 600 million?
600.
Yeah. What would you say to those people?
Oh, well. This is a family show, Craig. I can't exactly say exactly what I tell them. But just look at the club that we beat at the weekend. How much have they spent since their last trophy? I mean, that's kind of where I'd look at that. Exactly. And I feel like it's not that we've spent money and we've not made progress. All right, a trophy would be... Silverware is always seen as some kind of monarchy. You know, since Arteta won that FA Cup, what have we done since we have spent that 500 million?
Do you think that was his decision to go, fuck the cups, it's all about the league and getting into the Champions League?
We needed that for the money, didn't we? Because that's the thing. You can't, as much as you could be a cup team, it's not sustainable. And as much as, you know, people loathe American ownership, they want their clubs to be sustainable. And that's why they want to make sure that you get large revenue, and where's the most revenue come from? Comes from the Champions League. So fourth was then that priority. And I think even then we've had disappointing runs in the cups. I think that we can absolutely say that we have not done well enough in cup competitions under Mikel Arteta. But you know what? I think we'd all take being in the title race for two seasons running with some poor cup performances on that front. Especially with that progress we've seen. Obviously, under Wenger, really nice, you know, last six seasons, four FA Cups. And that was a great moment to kind of get over that hump of a trophy drought. But you can clearly see what we're doing at the moment. So this isn't like spending money, and you could, as you say, you cite Chelsea, I'd cite Tottenham again. I'd probably even cite Liverpool at the moment with their big amount of spending that they spent this summer. So what have they really achieved? They've locked their way into a title race and a League Cup. And I think we'd all say, you know what, I'd rather have a go in the league than go all out for the League Cup just to say, oh yeah, we've got a bit of silverware. We're not a club that needs, this almost sounds a bit mean, a meme-y, to go, not that we don't need silverware, but we can choose which silverware we go after. We're not desperate for a trophy. We're not trying to get over that hump that we had of the trophy drought. We could go out, I think, and have a great run at an FA Cup. Look, Man United have got into the FA Cup final two seasons in a row. It's clearly not that difficult to get to the FA Cup final. The issue is you come up against Man City. So, yeah, I think that's where I'm kind of sitting at the moment. I'm not too worried. I see progress in here. If we were starting to spend money and we didn't see progress, then I would be truly worried. This is the stage now, what we're doing in the next transfer window, where we're at that kind of law of diminishing returns. Yeah, we're probably spending £100 million to replace a £60 million midfielder. If, you know, we look for a replacement for Thomas Partey and that turns out to be Bruno from Newcastle, that's the kind of area we're operating in right now. And that's where I think, you know, we're the biggest fan base in the world in terms of online presence. That's the reason why the media write about us so often, because there will always be someone who will take that bait.
Yeah,
and we just take that as great. We're back. Yeah. We are.
But you've got to think, Josh, as well. It's money that we've earned. You know, we haven't got 100-odd charges against us for financial doping. We haven't had points deducted like some other teams in the Premier League for spending money they haven't got. You know, and that, it's money we've earned through years of working, you know, and sponsorships and playing football. So, what's the problem? And we've always said, if they've got it, spend it. Because if they don't spend it on the team, where's it going to go? That's not, yeah. I mean, apparently, you know, whereas before it used to be dividends to all like the owners and everyone was taking their, you know, cash, you know, in the back pocket and stuff, and they weren't spending it on the team. You know, football's an expensive thing to go to, expensive thing to even watch on TV. Why not spend it on the team?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where the assets are, right? That's where, yeah. At the moment, is the best place to keep your money. Rather than in the bank, this is what Chelsea have done for years, is kind of grab all of those players, because you're better off, rather than having 5 million in the bank, buying a 5 million pound player, hoping you can flip him for 10 million in a couple of seasons.
Yeah, and how many years to be here? We're keeping our powder dry and things like that.
I think it's because we needed to at the time, though.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And our bank loans required us to have cash in the bank, but.
I think what happened with the Emirates was I think that if Roman Abramovich hadn't have come along, then we would have been the best self-sustaining club in the league, and we would have had all this money and this, that, and the other, the way that the business model was made out. But then Roman Abramovich came along and blew it all out of the water. You know, and then of course the Saudis come in and take over Manchester City. They blow Chelsea out of the water. You have then the Americans that came in and you know, tried to do the same with Man United, but it hasn't quite worked at Manchester United. But Dan, let me play devil's advocate to the trophy thing. You know, we've all been watching football long enough, and I'm a football fan that says, you know, you've got to win trophies in a season. So let me play devil's advocate and come to you when people say, like Josh said, but I do agree with Josh in what he was saying. And there was a comment there about, you know, you go into the FA Cup, you win the FA Cup, you get 1.5 million. You get to the quarterfinals in the Champions League, you get 80 million. So, you know, it's an easy sum to answer, isn't it? But what I say to you, Dan, about the people that say, you know, oh, I don't mind not winning trophies. Are you one of those fans that, you know, would say, well, we've spent this amount of money, we should be winning trophies? Or are you like Josh, you know, okay, let's forget about trophies for a couple of seasons, get a few quid in the bank, then go on a mad trophy haul?
I think there's two similar but different scenarios going on. Under Wenger, it was blatantly clear we were never going to win the title. He had one time in 15-16. And I think other than that, in that last decade, there was nothing. There was no ambition by the club, as you can tell by the constant sale of one best player every year to keep everything funded. And so, to keep the people happy, we can put all of our efforts into the FA Cup. We got knocked out of the Champions League in the group stage, or the quarterfinals, or the second round, or the group of 32, I think it's called, season after season after season. But to appease the fans, we had a really decent, at that time, FA Cup run, which is why we got 14 of the shiny bastards. But that was just to keep the ship steady. I think Arteta's plans are, don't worry about the Cups. We haven't got the squad for the Cups. Concentrate and get into the Champions League, get in that £80 million a year, get into the quarterfinals, semi-finals, all the way. And our plan is to win the Champions League and win the Premier League and still not bother about the Cups. Now, Man City have come a cropper regularly because they've concentrated on the League Cup, and it's done them no favours quite often. What have they won it? 5 out of the last 6 seasons? Mm-hmm. And you would think sometimes that they are playing their best players in the League Cup, and then they get to you're playing the League Cup final the end of February, beginning of March. That's a weekend that everyone else is that weekend, you then have to do a midweek game. And if you're getting to the later stages of the Champions League, then you're going to be playing weekend, midweek all the time. Then you've got to squeeze another game in. Like tonight's game, a Thursday night Premier League game. That's not right. That's because they're trying to squeeze everything in. That's probably got something to do with the fact that Man City, one of those two, were probably meant to have played Man City, and that game was postponed, and then the next one postponed, and there's a domino effect. But I see the scenario under Wenger in the last decade and Arteta in the first decade, hoping there's going to be more than one decade, as completely different ends of a slippery spectrum, and I'm happy with it. Under Wenger, didn't really care. FA Cup finals are nice. Staying in the Champions League to a certain extent is nice, but you never thought we were going to win anything under Wenger. Under Arteta, I'm annoyed with how it's going because I expect us to win.
Yeah. You expect it's like that. Actually, leads me beautifully in, Nick, to the game against Spurs. 3-0 up after half an hour, absolute dreamland. But we didn't play very well, Nick. I don't think people are surprised to hear me say that. I don't think we played well. I thought Spurs were utter trash. How did you see it go?
Yeah, I mean, their finishing was pretty trash, but whereas us, it's weird. It wasn't a very Arsenal game where we were just clinical in the first half with our chances. I think we had like four chances in the first half and scored three goals, whereas even before Christmas, we were getting to stage where we were having 20, 30 chances, shots at goal, and we weren't scoring anything. So it's just a very weird game where, we normally dominate them, especially at home and sometimes away, but that don't always just dominate in the play, the possession, all the stats, the passes and all that. We used to say, hang on, we've battered Spurs, but somehow they've beaten us at White Hart Lane, and they've had two shots and scored two goals. We've had 30 shots and scored one. But that's completely flipped around the other way, which I'm happy about that, because especially at this end of the season, I don't really care how we play. I just want the points. I really could not care less.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is the most important thing, is that we got the 3 points. But Nick, Josh, before we go in and talk about the goals, the last 10 minutes, mate. I mean, I don't know what you was doing, but I was pacing up and down the front room in front of the telly. What was Raya thinking? It was a Granit Xhaka versus Liverpool moment.
It was.
The ground was absolutely dead. We're knocking it around for fun. And then all of a sudden, Spurs get a goal and the crowd are back up again.
Definitely. I think what they'd done is they were so terrible. They forced us into a false sense of security, it required them to go 3-0 down for Ange's plan to work. But, it nearly pulled off. They showed some great aggression in that last 10 minutes. The way they've been going on, you'd think they turned it around and won the game. But I totally agree. It's one of those that, as you said, I don't think we played well. But also it was a derby game. It was all about getting in there, getting the 3 points, and getting out. And the fact we were 3-0 up at halftime, I wouldn't say it was undeserved, but I think certainly the own goal helped us kind of break the ice, got them pushing on, gave us that space to then punish them two other times. But yeah, I think that lasts. Yeah, we let that. Well, let's put it this way. If Raya's going to make a mistake in the run-in to a title race, I'll happily let him do it when we're 3-0 up and we still win the game.
Yeah.
I'll let him do it then. That's when it's allowed. If it's 0-0, last minute against Bournemouth, and he chucks one in the net, then that's a problem. That's cost us points. But yeah, I'm happy for him to do it right then. Get out of his system. Because I think we all know players have got that in there. Because, we're all human. You do have that lapse of concentration. And yeah, I am absolutely fine with it. After the event, during the event, livid. Absolutely. Yeah. I think we all were. But I would say, last 10 minutes, absolute nightmare. But we got through it. And I think that's just part of it. You just see final score, 3-2. Penalty decisions as well. I'm sure we'll go into that. I think we got what we needed. We got what we came for. It's one of the more difficult games out of the way.
Absolutely.
Craig, Dan, I'd ask you about
I'll
it.
I'll go for it.
Because, like, I mean, I watched the game back again quickly, like, earlier today. And when I looked at that, he, you know, Ray, he, you know, I'm going to stick up for him because most of us slagged him off all season. He didn't really have anything on, did he? He didn't have any simpler passes. I think that's the only ball he had on other than launching it. But when Arteta's told him and pretty much replaced Ramsdale for the fact that he wants the goalkeeper to play it out from the back, and considering he's going to do that all season, is that not expected that that's going to happen at least once or twice a season?
As a goalkeeper myself, he should have launched it.
Yeah, I know he should have launched it.
Sometimes it's got to go long. Whether you're
managing, yeah, I know that's what he's. That was the only thing on because that pass wasn't on, and there was
he got caught in two minds, didn't he?
But if he's told Arteta's told him, you have to play it out. Do not launch it ever. Which I sort of understand the logic to that because if you launch it, you've got a 50-50 chance of winning the header and the knockdown, and our players aren't exactly tall, strong, winning those sort of things. So I get the idea of it, but I'm just, especially the fact we still won the game. If he'd have done it against Bournemouth and that was the end of the thing, that doesn't matter. Has he officially got the golden glove already?
No, he needs one more. He needs one more clean sheet.
He needs one more, yeah. So he's not doing too bad, is he?
But he's not. Yeah. He's not. But you know, to answer your question, Mikel Arteta, if Mikel Arteta was told him, you can't play it short, if I was in that position, I'm putting my foot for it. And then I'm saying to Mikel Arteta, if he's coming to me and he's saying, Craig, I told you can only play it short, I'm sticking up for myself and saying there weren't nothing on, boss. I had to get rid of it.
I was more annoyed that no one actually made themselves available because when you're going to do that, usually he's got two, possibly three, you know, passes to make. That was the Hollywood kind of spinny, loopy pass that he tried. And obviously that didn't come free, but I don't know. Let's say if you had played in goal, you'd have took the bollocking. But if Ramsdale took a lot of those bollockings last year, and he's not playing for us anymore. So I'm just saying, I understand why. So I'm not going to give him as much grief as if it was someone else.
Yeah, I don't know. As a goalkeeper, I think it was an absolutely ridiculous pass to even attempt.
Do you want to see a video of it?
Yeah, go for it if you've got one.
It's 8 seconds.
Right. Même la réussite. Ouh, David Raya, quelle imprudence! Et but de Cristiano Romero, l'erreur!
Straight away, he's got Tommy Yusu on his left, right?
Même la réussite. Ouh, David Raya, quelle imprudence! Et but de Cristiano.
Gabriel there as well.
Yeah, Gabriel's where I thought he was going to play it, and then what I thought was the press was in such a way that he thought he was going to play him into trouble, and he wouldn't be able to get the ball back.
Yeah,
so went to go. Oh, actually, the better option is to knock it out to the right. But obviously, in that time, press has come forward. He can't. He then slips because he's got a rush, and it's just one of those. Isn't it? The one time their press works,
But look,
and that was the problem.
We won the game. Who cares?
Exactly.
After all that, let's talk about those penalty decisions. For me, not one of them was a penalty. Not one. But they've been slowed down. Who was it? Kulusevski that went through, tripped himself up. Was it both? I thought the other one was Madison.
It was Kulusevski, Madison, and then the penalty they actually got.
Oh, that one. Well, that one there's a stonewaller. There's no getting away.
Do you know what my annoyance about this one is, Craig? It's the consistency, because we had one of those against us this season.
Yeah.
And we didn't get a penalty for it. No problem with it getting against us. You go, it's really annoying.
Was it against Villa?
I think we had one against Villa. We've had one against Palace last season. Remember where Saka was just on his own.
I can't remember, he caught the player's heel.
Yeah. We've had a few like that where we've just been cleaned out, nothing given. I think it's just unlucky. It's annoying that that's a penalty. But
it is unlucky because you can see where when he goes to kick the ball, I think the ball takes, you can't see it in the still there, the ball takes a bit of a hop off of his own leg, I think. when he's going to try and put his foot through it. And of course, he ends up kicking Ben Davies square in the goalies there.
He hasn't done it on purpose, has he? It's not like he's gone, I'm going to stop this bloke. He's just mistimed.
Absolutely. I don't think he's, you know, I would like to think that he's gone to kick him in the nuts.
He's got enough in the bank, hasn't he, to know that that's not a Mustafi level of incident where he's just completely miskicked it and taken the guy out.
Yeah. But the two penalties, the two penalty shouts against us, no way. None of them. Has anyone got any different opinion to that?
I've forgotten them already.
Oh, I have one opinion on it. Why are we not booking people for diving anymore?
Yeah.
Because Kulusevski should have been off then in the game because he dives earlier and then he gets pulled back.
Did he dive? Because he actually tripped himself up.
I think he dived in a number of occasions in that game, which I think should have been a yellow card. It cut it out, and
And the Madison one—you could clearly see he won the ball before any. Yeah. So I mean, you got people. I mean, I think I heard someone say after the game, one of the pundits say that it was a penalty. The Kulusevski, I can't say his name. That fellow, the first one.
Was it perhaps Michael Dawson, ex-Spurs defender, who was in the studio at Sky? It was probably that one, who then got bullied by Roy Keane for an hour. It was great.
There was tweets going around showing Rick Olsen laying on the floor with Gabriel walking away, being held back by the referee and going, why didn't the referee send him off? Because you're not showing the first part of it where Rick Olsen ran at Gabriel and shoulder barged him to the floor. They didn't show that bit. Just
thumbs
up Spurs fans.
It was a red card for me. That was a red card. Close. That was, you know, it was dangerous. It was violent conduct, if you ask me. There was no ball. It was just a complete push or a complete elbow or whatever you want to call it. I thought that was a straight red. Let's talk about Kai Havertz, Nick. What a player, mate. What a player that Arteta has spun here. He comes from Chelsea, £65 million. All the Chelsea fans are taking the right mickey out of us. £65 million in the bank. Kai Havertz is a load of, you can end that one. That was the song that they were singing. But he's come to Arsenal and he's reinvented this bloke. He's reinvented this player. And for me, he's undroppable at the moment. Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit annoyed that he played him deeper and brought back Jesus for the Villa game a few weeks ago.
I agree.
Because I was like, oh, why are you bringing back the X-Man City boys? Why are you changing a winning side? And, you know, and then obviously from the Chelsea game to the Tottenham game, he played the same 11 again. So I'm like, oh, you know, these are things that Arteta's learned. And the only thing I can think that he did that is because he wanted to rest a couple of players for the Munich game, which was on the thing, which, you know, obviously he's not going to tell anyone why he changed the side. He doesn't, you know, he plays the side he thinks he can get away with. I don't know why he thought he could get away with changing it for Villa when they're, you know, pushing and probably going to get top four. But, yeah, we have it. So, I mean, I was one of these, like, the same with Jesus and a lot of them. I don't really like signing players from a Chelsea or a Man City. And I heard today things like Rashford. I was like, oh, please, God, no. But it's just because, in my head, if they're not good enough for those clubs, then they're not good enough for Arsenal.
I don't know. Would you have had Jadon Sancho based on his performance?
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah, I have to play devil's advocate there, right? And I'll come back to you, Nick. Kai Havertz, right? Me and you said the same thing. Oh, bloody hell. Why are we signing Kai Havertz?
Yeah.
Marcus Rashford, for the right money, I would take him. For the right money, because I believe Mikel Arteta could do the same with Marcus Rashford. I really do. Anyone?
I don't know if that's the player to do it with, but there's I agree with going after the kind of what's the way they describe them, like broken eggs. So ones where you think, oh, you know what, don't try to trust that player anymore. And we've seen it. We've rehabilitated certain players. And Havertz, if you saw him at Leverkusen, you knew that the guy at Chelsea wasn't that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he play at Leverkusen?
False nine, so right number wing. 10.
Yeah.
Number 10. Where he's playing now, basically.
Where, if you watch Leverkusen this season, basically Florian Wirtz is like a mirror of Havertz. So aggressive on the ball, always wants to attack on the front foot. And yeah, Chelsea molded him into something that he's not. And you see that occasionally, right? You see players who look like they might not make it, don't make it, go to another club, different environment, have a perfectly good career. And I think what we've done is turn a player and bring him back onto the trajectory that you expected when you saw him at Leverkusen initially. And I think we'll continue doing that with the players we look to bring in, because it's the smarter place to shop, right? You know that these players have got it in them. See what they've got about them as well, because it's not just the ability, you know, it's that off-field as well. Danny's mentioned about the baggage around Rashford. I think that's more of like a media parade that comes when you bring Rashford in. Do we want to bring that kind of attention on the club? We know what? We had behind the scenes fly on the wall documentary crew for a season. I think we might be all right with that additional. Look, it's just a case of whether or not he's the right player for us. And with Martinelli there, Trossard there, what do we want to bring out of that left channel? That's the question for me. And Jesus, of course.
Mm. Dan, I'll come to you because Jesus was the next name on the end of my tongue. I've seen a lot of people actually suggest we should sell him at the end of the season. And unfortunately, I agree. I think Gabriel Jesus is done at Arsenal. I don't see when he first came, there was fireworks. He started scoring goals as soon as he got onto the pitch. So as soon as he put his Arsenal shirt on, he was banging in goals. But I just don't, like Nick said, against Aston Villa, why he changed it. Gabriel Jesus offered us nothing in that game for the full 90 minutes. Why he changed it, I do not know. Gabriel Jesus, Danny, is he one for the shopping list? Sorry, yep. The sale list.
Yeah, get rid of him. He's still only 27. Do you know Big Bob Holding's only 28? There's some forgery. There's some Silvino level forgery going on with Big Bob Holding's passport if he's 28. But Jesus is only 27. His first season, 11 Premier League goals in 26 games. Kind of acceptable. Had a good start. Constantly, even then, he missed 12 games. This season, 24 games, 4 goals. Now, I'd say 25% of them Premier League games have been substitute appearances coming back from fitness, because 2 or 3 bouts of being out injured, not good enough. And then in Europe, very good. 4 goals in 8 games, got us through on a couple of occasions. He has got the adaptability where you can play him as the striker, you can play him as the false nine, you can play him left wing, maybe even get away with him playing on the right-hand side. But that is a lot of money. I think he's on 260 grand a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 40 or 50 million pound player that doesn't really fit into the... When you try and squeeze him in, it's at the expense of other players that do the job better. And he's always whining. He's always on the floor. He's got a face like a smacked ass when he's not happy. It irks me that he's there. You have helped us take leaps and bounds. It's like how the NASA space program in a space of 5 years went from nothing to allegedly landing on the moon. They did. He's there. He's helped us. He's done it. Him and Zinchenko. You thank you very much. Here's a thank you card and a carriage clock and a box of chocolates. Now fuck off.
Nick, Gabriel Jesus, as Danny Nice puts it, fuck off. What are you saying?
I mean, I said fuck off before we signed him. I just, I'm miserable twat. You know, I don't like signing players. I mean, look at the record we had of signing X-Man City and Chelsea players previously. People like Gallas and David Luiz and Willian and people like that. So, and yeah, we got him relatively cheap, and I think we could probably sell him for around about the same 30 million-ish now, because he's only 27. And like we were talking about Rashford, why I said no is because if we're going to sell Gabriel Jesus and spend, you know, I know it's paper talk, and obviously that's agents that either want to get Rashford a new deal at Man U, and that's agent talk. Try to get Jesus a new deal, because if he's 2 years in, then he's either going to be sold or do a new contract, you know. So if us get rid of Jesus and spend 60, 70 million on Rashford, no. If us get rid of Jesus and bring in, what's it, the lad from Newcastle or someone, you know, younger and more energetic and who might fit our style. That's the one, Isaacs. And Rashford is going to replace Eddie in the team and in the squad, but obviously given a bit more chance, then I would take a punt on Rashford as a backup to a new number nine, but I wouldn't put him as our first choice number nine because he just, I know it could be at Man United, he just doesn't look like he gives a shit about playing football. Mm. He doesn't look bothered. He looks like he's more worried about feeding school kids.
But is that the environment? Is that the environment?
Possibly. That is a Man United thing as well, isn't it? Like, yeah. None of them look happy. They're all pissed off. They've got a
manager. If I was a winger in that Man United squad and I see Antony is starting week in, week out ahead of me, there's no bloody way I'm putting in any more effort.
Yeah.
So I think clearly, no point. No point.
Because I'll use another Man United player. And sorry, I know it's supposed to be an Arsenal podcast, but just for example, Jadon Sancho last night, I don't know if you watched the game interview, but Jadon Sancho, man of the match by a country mile. Absolute world-class performance. And this was a kid who couldn't get in the Man United team. I mean,
that was a clash of personalities, though. I think
that's probably what Josh said. He probably said, "You're picking up Antony over me. Look what he's doing. You spent all this on money. When are you going to give me a chance?" And he probably gave him, "Yeah, you'll get your chance, mate. You'll get your chance." And he never did. So he just said, "Well, fuck you then, because you're cutting your nose off to spite your face." And that's probably why. I mean, I'll take Jadon Sancho. I'll have him.
One of the big issues with Jadon Sancho was he came in under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And I mean, there you go. Who then went, "Oh, the best right winger in world football. Well, he's right footed. So I'm going to play him on the left and get him inverted." That was the big issue there. They just completely screwed him. And who knows? Maybe Manchester's not the right environment for him. You know,
To be fair, Josh, he's not the only manager that spent big money on a player, you know, who's played really well in a certain position for so many years abroad or at a different club. Then all of a sudden he wants to reinvent him and play in somewhere completely differently and it completely backsfired. He's not the only manager to ever do that, is he?
True, but I could always give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a bit of a kicking. He deserves it.
Oh.
Going back to Arsenal, another player who is second on my out list, unfortunately, and it breaks my heart to say it because I had great aspirations for this lad.
I'm bracing myself.
Yeah, is Zinchenko, unfortunately.
I thought you were going to say ESR. Fuck.
No. With Kiowa and Timber coming back, who can put them in the top corner, as I don't know if you saw that goal he scored for the under-21s. Yeah. My God, what a hit. But I think, I don't know, Josh, is time up for him as well?
I think so. I think we've progressed beyond him. Again, it's the same with Jesus. Right? They were there to get us from that point to drive in and, you know, almost be an Arteta advocate. Because I'm sure behind the scenes, the things that Arteta wanted to put in place, he needed that buy-in of people who had seen what had happened at a serial title-winning club.
Very good point, yes.
Needed those players in there. Because Zinchenko go, "Oh yeah, of course." Because when Arteta may occasionally say, "So Pep at City did this for us," needs those people to go, "Oh yeah, that's exactly what happened.
That's right, boss, I got this.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're talking about," and can help educate those players. Clearly, what we can see, we're at that point now. And there was a reason why City were happy to let those two players move on, right? But I think the worry, well, actually, I'm not worried about Zinchenko and finding a buyer for him, because I think the left-back market or the position he could play in, we'd get a reasonable fee for him. Back to Jesus, that's where I'd struggle to see what kind of fee we could get for him. And who would really be in? Maybe PSG after Mbappe goes. That's potentially the only route I could see him going to. Barcelona haven't got any money. It's back to another Premier League team. And if he enjoys London, Chelsea going to spend again? Or is he going to go, "Actually, Cole Palmer's there. Ask him how it's going." We go, "Oh, actually, no. Not bothered."
Money plus what, Jesus for old at Newcastle? Isaacs, possibly?
No, I
doesn't happen very often anymore, does it?
And let's put it this way: if you've lived in London and Manchester, do you really want to move to Newcastle? And you
don't want to live in any of
them. You're from Brazil.
1980s. I have to say, Newcastle is a bloody good city. I'm gonna stick up for Newcastle. I think Newcastle's a bloody good city.
It's a nice city, but if you're from Brazil, what you want. You know, when you're
from up north, I get that bit. Yeah, I get that bit.
That's the bit where I'm thinking, you know, he's in a cosmopolitan city. London is a bigger pull than I think people realise outside of the fan base, that where we're located, we can get certain players that other teams can't get because of our location.
So am I saying then, and I'll put this out to the chat as well, am I saying that if we signed Bruno, is it Gomes or Guerlain? I'm not very good at names.
We'll call him Bruno.
Bruno. Am I saying that a successful transfer window would be Bruno, can't even say Bruno now, Bruno and Isaacs from Newcastle? They come straight in. Do they come straight in? Does Bruno replace Thomas Partey, who I have to say was immaculate against Tottenham? I thought he was one of the players in the match. Absolute beast performance from Partey. Do we risk bringing in someone and binning off Partey and making a massive, massive mistake? Or do we take that risk, Dan? I think we're all agreed on Isaacs. I think everyone would like to see him at Arsenal next year.
He's very Henry-ish.
He is.
At times. And he wears 14 for that reason.
But what about this thing about, you know, replacing Partey? Are we about to make a huge mistake?
Oh, no, he's done. He's it's just a cameo appearance. Hey, everybody, look, I'm fixed. they've taken him out in the garden. They've got what's that polish called that you used to put on your car?
Sorry, one second.
Turtle wax.
He's got the old turtle wax out, given him a once-over. He's brushed his hair, trimmed his beard, and backlit him, made him a little bit of sparkle all over him, a little bit of those sparkly makeup. Got it. Look at this bloke. Look, he's wonderful. We pay 50 million for him. Bargain now, if you're quick, 25 million. No questions asked, paying cash. No, I'm robbing myself. I'm doing myself a blind here. You can have him 25 million. That's what they're going to do, and hopefully he'll go. Because there is, as Boateng has said all season, there's issues going on in the background that we don't talk about, and that still hasn't come to a head. So that those legal issues might still pop up. So he might need to leave the country quite quickly before those legal issues do become an issue. Isn't there talk that Edu and that lot are all off to Saudi this week?
They were in Saudi. And I think that's where we've apparently ended up with a new left back from Fenerbahce. But who knows?
What's he doing in Saudi?
Well, I guess it's a good place to be when you're also trying to say, oh, you know what? We've got a load of players we're trying to get rid of. X-Man City, you'll love them. Love them. Pay them a shed.
Oh, and actually, we have this Scottish lad as well who's playing in Spain at the moment. Who we can swap.
That makes me sad.
Kieran Tierney makes me awful sad as well. Man, I love the bloke.
It wasn't that long ago that he was the player of the season. He was the one we backed to turn the club around. Sad times. And
he was. He was the same. Let's put it this way. We got through the level of players. You could almost do it by left backs. So we started with, Kolasinac? And wasn't right. Tierney comes in. We see this great left back. And, you know, when Arteta first joins, he said, Kieran Tierney, poster boy for work rate. That's what he was. He was that guy of go, you will work as hard as Kieran Tierney and we'll move on to great things. Everybody who didn't work as hard as Kieran Tierney, gone. Aubameyang, gone. Lacazette, gone. Ozil, I don't think he was even in the building anyway. All left. And then Zinchenko, again, we needed to move to the next level. And that's what Zinchenko brought us. And now we're looking, got Timber. I think that's our left back. And we've got Kivior as well. I think Kivior hasn't really pushed a needle anywhere, but we're in that next phase of looking for those players to kick us on to that next level. I think we're all agreed striker is one of them. Mm. And I think now what we need to do is clean out all the injury-prone players. Zinchenko, fortunately, and Jesus fall into both categories.
So do Partey.
And Partey. And I think that's what Danny was saying last year away. Smith Rowe, again, Partey could put in one of those performances, but if he's only available, every 4 weeks, And that's an unreliable 4 weeks. It's not helpful. Not helpful at all for us.
Danny, can I ask you a question? Because you've been here since day one and you remember a lot of this. Can you remember a few seasons ago when we were constantly moaning that all our players ran their contracts down and left on a free? Whereas now we're actually trying to sell them and get money for them a few years before the end of their contracts. And people are still fucking moaning. Mm. Do you know what I mean? If we could get money for Partey, I mean, if we could get 30 mil, I don't think we could get that, and money for them. Surely we're better to get money for them now and replace them with someone 4 or 5 years younger and spend a little bit than let them run out their contracts and leave on a free. Then everyone knows we're desperate to sign a replacement. And then the money goes through the roof to the point where either we can't afford it and Man City or Chelsea outbid us, or we have to pay silly money for average players. Like when we had no centre halves at the club and we had to spend like 40 million on Mustafi and people like that, you know, when we were desperate. So I know you can never win when you play football with stuff like that, but is that not a good thing that we're thinking of selling players when they've still got some value? Mm.
And while we're still on good terms with them, so
yeah,
all those players we talked about leaving, they could be here next season and still do the job perfectly fine. But you're on about paying all that money for Mustafi. Nobody wants to sign for a sinking ship. That's why all those players cost a fortune.
Without now, as well as
there is no player on the planet who wouldn't want to play under Arteta at the moment and next season and part of the vision. And that means they can tell their club, "Well, I want to go. So you better sort out a deal because I'm going to Arsenal." And that could every team, apart from Man City players, and even maybe some of them are just fed up of being dirty and stinky and all that the stuff that's going on. Or maybe in 2025, when they get the court case, they'll all jump ship anyway. So maybe they want to jump ship early. But there's only one player I'd like from Man City. That'd be Rodri.
Sorry, Josh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if this summer we give a title rival a bloody nose with a player we get out of there. Let's put it
we
that way.
We haven't done much stealing of star players, have we? Is that what you're saying?
Well, Jorginho. We ripped Jorginho out of Chelsea and they fell apart like a house of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And Havertz, again, done the same thing. We're doing it with Chelsea at the moment. I wouldn't be surprised with old Jurgen moving that we don't do something at Liverpool. It's a lot of midfielders that don't quite fit. And I wonder if there's someone there we could sneak out. I think a lot of their players are a bit of a problem. We were linked with Jones earlier in the season before he got his big injury. I think that's another one just to keep an eye on with our, when we're talking about outgoings, just keep an eye on that homegrown quota as well. At least one homegrown player will need to come in for sure.
There's a few inconsistent players at Liverpool and Man United that if Arteta could give the Havertz treatment to, and we could get them out, that could be shrewd business. And like I said, they're Premiership ready as well.
Like Rashford.
How damaged can a player be? Like you see these car shows where they get a wrecked car and they make it new again. How damaged a player can Mikel turn around? Is there a limit?
Is that the level you want now?
Huh? Yeah.
Is that the level you want? Is that the show
you
want
your day?
But when Josh, when you've got a manager that can do it,
Chelsea 2-0.
Lovely.
Ding fucking dong.
Lovely. Well, it's not lovely, but it is. I've just been sick in my mouth a bit there. But it is kind of lovely, isn't it, that the Spurs are losing?
Yeah. Pimp my player, says Boy 10. Kind of.
Yeah, I think there is probably a ceiling with how many you have within the squad. I mean, look at the squad he inherited, right? He couldn't work miracles with all of them. Yeah. There is a cut-off point. There is no rehabilitating certain players. Even if they then go on to be top goal scorer in France this season.
Easily done.
I think there is definitely, I wouldn't want too many projects, let's put it that way. We've got to also keep our concentration in.
He's only got a certain amount of magic to spread.
Exactly.
That's
and
true,
I think the other thing to bear in mind is about, there's a lot of manager, well, there's a supposed manager merry-go-round at the moment. And that's also looking at our assistants. I think Albert's been touted again with moving away. It's a case of should we start bringing in what's that coach going to be looking like? What new ideas are they going to bring in? Is that going to be a problem for us as well.
I'm going to have to increase the capacity of the Emirates if you get any more coaches in.
Let me come around to you and ask you this question, everyone. How important is it that we bring the youth? How important is it that we start bringing in some, you know, we start bringing some, a few youth players in? Because it hasn't quite happened over the last couple of years, has it? Where Arsene Wenger would bring us a gem nearly every season. Whether it worked out or not is another argument. But do believe that Mikel Arteta, I think I've seen today on Twitter that he's going to give this young lad a chance at scoring 5 or 6, 7 goals a game in the under-21s. Don't I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name because I can't even pronounce Bruno Guimarães. But how important, or is it important to you as fans? I say this to you in the chat as well. Let us know. Is it important that he starts to bring a few youth players in? Nick, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who he's actually brought through since he's been there. I mean, Saka obviously came through before him. I think Wenger gave him his debut, but then Emery started playing him more. I think Wenger might have gave him a debut in like a League Cup game or something.
Sure it was Emery. Pretty sure Emery's it was Emery that debut. Gave him his debut, yeah.
I think
Willock was under Wenger. Oh, right. Under Wenger.
But yeah, you would expect, I mean, if Arteta's been there 5 years, you'd have thought within the last 5 years, one of the 14, 15, 16-year-old lads that we've identified, this is the type of striker we want to go with in this process. This is the type of winger we want. This is, you know, that's why under Wenger, they were always Wenger-type players, like really good sort of kind of Fabregas style little...
Yeah, technical.
Pass,
yeah.
You know, technically good because that's what that was. So, and what was it? So that'd be four nearly five seasons he's been there, 2019. So I would expect someone to come through or at least... I mean, maybe he released a couple last year because he didn't think he was good enough. I mean, we had... who was it everyone was going mental over last year and he don't think he actually played a game for us and they wanted to keep him... And then we flogged him abroad and kept Eddie. What's his name?
He went Balogun, who started.
Yeah. Balogun. Yeah.
And now hasn't done anything at Monaco.
Yeah. So does that mean Arteta was right? I don't know. So maybe that's one that he thought was going to be good, and he's realised nope, he's not good enough for the side. So he sold him and make money. So it's a good job the academy is making some money, but I would expect Arsenal to bring through someone at, maybe not a Saka world-class level, but at least a decent squad level by now. I thought there'd be someone. I mean, I don't know that. You know, I'm going to try and say his name either, the one who's scoring all the goals, but I saw a picture of him today. I thought, I can't say that. But
well, someone's just put his name in there. It's actually not too bad. I'll attempt it. Chai Obi Martins. I mean, Josh, 24 goals in 7 games, right? If you've got a kid in the under-21s scoring 24 goals in 7 games, the kid's got something about him.
Oh.
Right?
Absolutely.
There's no doubt. No, there's no doubt.
6'2 as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have him in the squad instead of Eddie because he doesn't fancy Eddie anymore, does he?
No. Surely this kid deserves his chance, whether it be... Now, I don't want to go back to this, the cliche of the cups... Surely this kid deserves some pre-season friendly time. He deserves some League Cup times.
Danny, that's perfect for the point
good enough, I'm going to say this now, to really get on your nerves. If you're good enough, you're old enough.
Yep, I agree with that. But also, how good is our squad right now? Do we need to be calling up a 16-year-old? Into the first team,
but why not
solving our goal
issues? Yes, Josh, don't you want to be bringing these kids into a winning side? Well, give them 10 minutes rather than bringing them into a losing side.
I'll put it to you this way: Does he deserve then to perhaps come in for a game at pre-season level? This
absolutely
that, and the other.
Pre-season, perfect. That's the time to do it. But also look at the players we're bringing in. They have got serious number of minutes at first team football under their belt at very young ages. the loan system has completely changed from where it was before. Those are the people I'd look at bringing it, or look at that loan system, give them that option there. So Patino at the moment out on loan. Okay. Again, for Swansea at the moment, I don't think he's set the world alight. I think there are some certain players that could push all the way through. The main worry I think we've got with this kid is the fact that we can't sign him to a professional contract until he's 17.
Right. Okay.
That's the only big thing. And there's the big scary thing of, remember what we used to do to Barcelona, where Wenger would turn up at La Masia and say, yep, I'll take Bellerin. Yeah, I'll take Cesc. I'll take Pizuelo. I'll take X, Y, and Z. Because we could sign them at 16. We can't do that anymore, but they can do it to us.
Yeah, that splits round, isn't it?
It's one of the benefits of Brexit for everybody who's looking for them. That's one of the problems that's been caused. But back to my kind of main point, youth players that broke into the Invincible side after the Invincible season, Cesc, after we sold Vieira, Clichy took a while to come through, but again, he broke through because of us selling Ashley Cole. It's very, very difficult to get into our best squads. Very difficult. So I would rather put them on loan. That's their opportunity. Give them 40 games against men, because they're not going to get it in our side. Yeah, we'll get the upper echelons of football, but I'd also look at play styles now. The lower league teams, look at Ipswich, who are on the cusp of coming up to the Premier League. The football they're playing
last season.
I don't know who they are, but maybe go back to the predictions table. But I might have said they'd win.
Well,
Ipswich
have actually got one of our old youth prospects on loan from Chelsea.
They do.
Oh, Hutchinson.
Yeah, and he is absolutely tearing up trees for Ipswich.
He is.
Ipswich Town is my home club, so I have an affiliation with them. I watch them a lot. He scored an absolute worldie the other night at Hull. What was the story with Hutchinson? Why did he? How come he's at Chelsea?
That was the agent, wasn't it? I think he's got the same agent as Eddie. But that's another one of looking at certain players that should have moved but got poorly advised. Reece Nelson should have gone on loan with the option. He would have been a starter for us if he'd taken that loan option rather than being our ninth choice winger. Because I think that's the other thing to look at, that these boys need to progress into levels of football. The reason why Barcelona are bringing through so many youth players, they've got to. It's not because they want to play a 16-year-old or he's good enough to play there. They can't afford to play a proper winger. They've had to get rid of Dembele. He wouldn't have started over Dembele. We wouldn't have started over Ferran Torres, Lewandowski there. I think that's the big thing. It's all about need. Wenger, I think Wenger's keen eye for young talent. I think that's what really helped us in that time. But it was also a case of, if we had the money post Invincibles and didn't move to the Emirates, for example, do you think we'd have seen so many youth players coming through? Like Henry Lansbury got, 20 games for us? Ended up having a middling career in the Championship. Realistically, should have even had those games for Arsenal. If we were challenging for the title, wouldn't have even come close. Jack Wilshere, generational talent, different. That's the level you've got to be at to break into.
But how do we know this boy is not a generational talent? How do we know that he? Nick, let me come back to you on it. I'm a traditional football supporter. I've been watching football for a long time. You know, you look at the players that have come through at very, very young ages. I'll take, for example, Wayne Rooney. He was given a chance at Everton and turns out to be, you know, one of the best England strikers that we're ever going to see. Now, I'm not comparing this lad to Wayne Rooney, but what I am saying is that Wayne Rooney was given the chance to go out onto a Premier League football pitch and show what he can do.
Wasn't it against us?
It was. He scored. He scored his first goal against Arsenal. But I would be saying that with players like Eddie Nketiah, I don't rate Eddie Nketiah. I'm sorry. He's not. No. Never. He's never going to be a player that we. I just don't. He's never going to be a player that we hoped he was going to be. He was the same. He came on against Norwich. I think he made his debut against Norwich, didn't he? Come on and scored two
headers
goals.
At 2 yards yeah. out. I mean,
and then everyone's like, blah, blah. But we have this young kid now in the youth team, 24 goals in 7 games. Surely, Mikel Arteta has got to start trusting his own judgment on him. And surely his statistics are screaming, get this kid in the squad. Yeah. Surely.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie had his chance last year. I mean, I think Jesus, when he got injured, January towards the end of the year, Eddie started and Arteta was like, oh, I don't need to sign one. Eddie's going to play for us. I think he scored like 3 goals in about 20 games and eventually got dropped and we were playing Trossard there as like a false nine. So that's, and because for whatever reason they've signed into a £100,000 a week contract, we couldn't sell him anywhere else. But like I'm saying, he obviously doesn't fancy Eddie. I don't even know the last time Eddie played or even came off. Did he come on against Tottenham?
Come on against Villa, didn't he?
Villa.
He's lost that for 10 minutes.
Exactly. He's not. I think he knows that he's done. The same as Nelson. He knows he's done. So why are they even on the bench? They could have these, you say, well, I'd rather bring this young lad on for 10 minutes than I would Eddie. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to be different. He's going to, and he obviously knows where the back of the net is, where Eddie doesn't. He's a 1 in 4 striker, one in four chances he'll possibly score. I think he'd do well in the Championship. I don't want to sit there and hate him and say he's terrible, because I hate in football how we put everyone into the category of either you're world class or you're crap.
Yeah.
He's not world class.
I mean, don't get me wrong, what I just said there.
He's a good Championship, coming up to the Premiership level player. I think he'd do really well at Norwich, just their style of playing, how they play. That sort of... they'll see me in the...
Someone give out the numbers to Mountains.
I mean, I'm not saying Eddie Nketiah is no good. What I'm saying is he just doesn't fit. He's just not good enough to be here.
I would rather bring this young lad on for 10, 15 minutes than Eddie. I'm not saying you want to bring him on and put all our hopes of scoring a last-minute winner. But if we're 3-4-0 up and we need to take someone off to, give them a little bit of rest because they're in the red zone and we've got another game next week and we need to, because that's what we've got 3 games left now and we need to win all 3. Mm. So hopefully no one's in the red zone and stuff like that. But I think they could help more and they would benefit from being around this squad, even if they don't come on. They benefit from just being in the change room around the first team.
They have been training.
And if they get a loan next year and then come back, because I think, didn't they do the same thing with Jack? He had a loan, a year at Bolton?
Yeah.
He was in and around on the bench at the first team, a few minutes there, a little bit there, then had a full season loan, come back good. I would rather be doing that. And, that's better to do that while you're winning than relying on them to score.
But I think you're saying that with the assumption he's not in the dressing room, right? Just because he's not in the match day squad doesn't mean he's not around. Jan Rieri, I think, has been in the stadium. It's been in and around the dressing room. That's the player I'd look at.
Well, I've been in the stadium. I'm not next.
Well, Danny, I'm not saying that this lad should be, I'm not saying that we shouldn't sign another striker. I'm not saying we should pin all our hopes on this young lad. That's not what I'm saying. But can you see what I'm saying about if you've got a kid of that caliber sitting there, And you've got the likes of Eddie Nketiah on the bench, and I don't know, am I wrong in hyping him up so much, or am I wrong in wanting him to come through and, let's see what he can do?
I think now that the match day squad is 18 outfield players and a minimum of 2 goalkeepers, you have the team that travels to the away games or does the training. They're regularly going. 4 young players have been called up to the first team squad. We know they're not going to get a game, but they are training with the first team squad. And with 9 subs on the bench, you can have so much freedom of just regularly having Manwari, either an N or an M at the beginning. I don't know. He's regularly on the bench. Just slowly including them in that and getting them used to the whole situation. But like Peter Little here says, he used to be a professional footballer for years. And He said, I scouted for 37 and a half, scouted 37.5 youngsters.
I think he means pro years.
Oh, yeah. For 37 and a half years, five youngsters for pro football and only one made it at Northampton and struggling. At 16, they all show promise but don't have the mental strength. I think that sums up Eddie.
Yeah,
Eddie
yeah.
doesn't look like he has the mental strength to – he needs to be a big fish in a little pond. That would suit Eddie, like with Nick saying, go and play at Norwich. You'd be their star player in the Championship. And or maybe go and play for Leicester because he could play the same way that Vardy has played for Leicester all these years and won't be as good. But having the players involved, it's not like the old days where you had five subs and so the youth players never got a game unless there was a disaster going on or it was the last game of the season. Now, I think if you read the reports and like go and watch read Simon Collins for the tweets that he does, SR underscore Collins, I think it is. And just keep an eye on what he's saying. The players that are involved in the match day squad and the training squad, he brings them up regularly. And I think we will see that. But like Nick said, three games to go in the season. You really can't waste a space on the bench for someone like that. If League Cup games, like you were saying, Craig, pre-season, that's when we should see players like him and Patino and Manwari and this young man whose name I've already forgotten, Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're calling him.
Obi the one.
Strong. The force is strong. Let's hope the
it's
force
good
is
to
strong.
Have these problems.
Mm. It absolutely is. Lads, Bournemouth, going on to Bournemouth at the weekend. Three games to go. We're hoping that... Oh, God, that's... Oh, my God. I've just realised what I was about to say. That we're going to hope that Spurs beat Man City.
Mm. Well, no problem with that. If it gets us the title, a draw yeah. will be fine.
Yeah.
I'll accept Wolves beating them.
Spurs have an absolute yes. horror, a great record against Man City at their place as well.
They do.
As they in? Do.
Very good beating record. Oh, the good. Bed, I think that Pep's Man City team has only scored twice there. Ever.
How great would it be that if Tottenham beating Manchester City handed the Premier League title to Arsenal?
Certainly how hands good, us the advantage, takes it to the
how
last
good
day
would that
for
be?
Sure.
I was having this chat today. They're going to throw it, aren't they?
I watched an interview there. I don't know why I was watching it. You know, sometimes you fall down these YouTube rabbit holes. And there was actual Spurs fans saying that they will take a 10-0 loss.
Sums them up.
Yeah, they will take a 10-0 loss if it means that we don't win the league. What kind of mentality is that? Unbelievable.
Spurs.
Anyway, let's get the predictions for Bournemouth before we end the show. The show that was titled Teaching Spurs a Lesson in Football Tactics, and we spoke about it for about 5 minutes. But anyway, Josh, Arsenal Bournemouth at the weekend. I'm expecting 3 points, but... Bournemouth, if there is going to be a banana skin there, it's Bournemouth. And I'll say this as well. If we beat Bournemouth and we lose to Manchester United, who are absolute horses' ass, if we lose to Manchester United, then we don't deserve to win the title, in my opinion. They are crap. But Bournemouth, mate, banana skin, huge.
Yes, definitely a banana skin. Iraola's very good manager. I think I've been listening to podcasts that if you cut the league in the right place, I think November time, that based on form, they'd be fifth in the table. And yeah, we've just beaten fifth in the table quite convincingly of currently in the league. But yeah, I would say for me, it's going to be tight again. We probably only win by one goal. But I think it'll be a more assured performance. We're at home, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
So I take that back about only winning by one goal. I'm going to go 3-1. We might concede. Just got a worry in there, but yeah, expect us to score.
Nick, what are you saying, mate? Confident?
Relatively confident, only because of what happened last year. What was it, the last kick of the game when Nelson scored. I just wonder if Arteta's like going to show them. I said, look what they did to us last year. So don't take them lightly, you know, and hope, obviously, you know, hopefully we don't have to bring Nelson on to get a last-minute winner. I would take a last-minute winner from Nelson. I'd take a last-minute winner from Nketiah. I don't care who's got, but, you know, hopefully that's professional. Obviously, Sunday afternoon, 12:30 kickoff. The sunny weather's coming out, so we aren't going to complain about playing in the rain, hopefully. Yeah, I just think if we... I don't know why we're thinking Bournemouth, you know, if we can't beat Bournemouth, we don't deserve to be champions, do we?
I'd agree with that, yeah.
You know, as Bournemouth, and we're sitting there saying that Bournemouth are a banana skin, yet Man United are dog shit. And I was like, surely that's the other way around. I mean,
I think Bournemouth are dangerous
because they're, as a side and a unit, they're terrible, but they've got dangerous individuals. On their day, they could do anyone.
I think they loaned him out to Getafe. Oh, that dangerous individual.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. But yeah, I'm hoping a nice, easy 3-0 win in the sun. That'll
be nice, wouldn't it, Dan? But before I come to Dan, if you have got any questions that you want to ask, put them into the chat there now.
Are Bournemouth actually fighting for anything?
No.
No, they've just finished
Europe, aren't they?
They've beaten all their records.
They could squeeze it, maybe. They could squeeze. Well, Chelsea's win doesn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 10th. They are on 48. Chelsea and West Ham are on 48 and 49. I don't think they're going to make it.
Maybe.
Dan, your Bournemouth.
Well, I didn't realise.
Your Bournemouth thoughts.
We've played 15 and we've only lost one. I mean, look at that 4-0, 3-2, 3-2, 3-0, 2-1. 5-1, a 2-1, a 3-0. Back there. Should be. I mean, they've just had their best ever season points wise. So they're in that mid the end of season mediocreness where they've got nothing to play for, they've got nothing to lose, and it's at our place. And I think we're 3-0.
3-0.
It should be quite easy.
I'm going to go 3-1. I don't want to go 3-1 because I'm ready to get the golden glove, but I just don't think we'll keep the clean sheet against them. I'll take a 1-0 92nd minute own goal winner. I'll take it.
Will your heart
it means
take
we get
that?
The 3 points.
I was going to say that.
No, yeah, yeah, mind, yeah. Yeah. I don't. The heart would, but I'm not sure about the old ring of fortune. any questions for us before we?
We got one.
Go to bed?
We got one question. You lazy fuckers. And that's just a thing that Josh has pinned. Hente says, converted to 3 points for a win, the Arsenal's 80 points this season after 35 games is bettered only once in the club's history. And that's because back in the day, you used to only get 2 points for a win. But, yeah, stunning. That's always some good. Oh, Chelsea beat Spurs 2-0.
Very good.
We broke their season. So that just shows how good we're doing. Plus, the goals conceded is some of the best we've had in years. Barry says, best pre-match food spot outside the Emirates. Avoid all of them. Get McDonald's on the way. And you're not going to get food poisoning. You're not going to get mugged off. Don't buy anything in the ground.
No, don't buy anything in the ground. That's the best bit of advice you'll ever get. Goodness me. I remember at the derby I was at where Bentner scored the header when he came on as a sub. I got a burger at half time. I took one bite out of it. Oh my God. It was like
I had that at Highbury. Do not
it's like a dog
it,
toy. It's the only the only way I could describe it. Jesus Christ. It was horrible.
Any ideas, Josh, to get a good vegan lunch around the Emirates or
wow.
Some foie gras or some
you've got some decent fish and chippies up there.
You do indeed on the corner. Oh,
the fish the corner. Bar, the Arsenal fish bar.
Yeah.
Still there?
I think so.
They've probably been knocked down to put flats there.
That Ivory corner is apparently decent, but I've had enough pies in my life. So
and they're closed. They don't.
They haven't been
running since COVID.
They shut both down, that and King's Cross.
Yeah, he moved down to the Devon or Cornwall.
Took his pies with him. Caught out while he could. Grab your pies, love, we're off. Formerly Noza says, Craig, what do you think of Tottenham?
Shit.
Ooh. And Josh, what do you think of shit?
Tottenham.
And Nick, what do you think of the current situation with Sony and the games wires and all going digital only?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Give you a chance there, Nick, to talk Twitch, and you let me down. Steph says he loves a dirty burger. Boy, that boy's filth.
Well, this burger wasn't dirty. You could have polished it and it would have shined up quite nice.
What else have we got there? Probably gone. Oh, that's it. I think there's no more questions, Craig. We've entertained him for an hour and a half, and the lazy fuckers couldn't be bothered to put the letter Q in the most meaningless question they could even think of. I bet when you start wrapping it up, they'll have something.
Yeah, probably. Once we're gone, they'll all start rolling in. But listen, scumbags. I have to end the show this evening, which I thoroughly enjoyed. My thanks to Dan for letting me host. It's been a while.
Forcing me.
It has been a while since I've hosted a podcast, so I hope I've done the Burkamp Wonderland posse well. I hope I've done you all
certainly
well.
Certainly have.
On behalf of myself, Josh, good night, sir.
Thank you very much. Good night to you and good night to all the listeners, even the ones that didn't send us questions.
Yes, even those ones. Nick, thank you very much, sir. Much appreciated.
Pleasure.
And Danny, my favourite human being in all the fucking world.
That's only because you've lost your Twitter account and you've got a low one, so the number of people you've got to pick from is less. Did you say in the world or on Twitter? My ear thing fell out.
In the world, mate.
Oh, that's slight over-exaggeration, but I'll take it. It's very, very rarely I get any compliments.
My old Twitter account got suspended because I stuck up for a disabled girl who was getting grief.
Yeah.
And I sent the fella a tweet that if I ever met him, I'd kick his fucking head in. So and I got permanently suspended.
So if anybody's got any fingers in the pies at Twitter, sort Craig out. He was only defending poor little
show. Oh, no, I don't care. I've got Twitter account now. Scotty Boy AFC, come and follow me if you want to. It's quantity, quality, not quantity.
And I'm the other way around.
That. I've learned that. Oh, yeah, quality, not quantity. Yeah, that's the one I used to get. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Let's hope for 3 points on Saturday. Until we see you again, be nice to each other. And up the Arsenal.
Up Wolves.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Get down, dog. Splendid business.
He nearly caught the bloody thing. What are you talking about?
So I've just eaten a full quiche. Well, you don't often see them at Ibs, so when you see them in the supermarket, they need to be swagged, microwaved immediately, and get the brown sauce on and bosh, Bob's your uncle.
Never in doubt.